Wow. You know, I love our monthly first fruit celebration, and a lot of people don't realize it's a biblical thing to do. All through the Bible, the Jews would meet together at the beginning of every month. Sometimes it's called today Rosh Chodesh, which means the head of the month. And what they were doing, it was a way to honor God by saying the very first thing we're going to do this month is to praise God. And they'd come together and they'd praise God. They'd bring a first fruits offering and they would listen to the voice of the prophets to see what God is saying about the month we're coming into. And that's really what we do every month here at Glory of Zion. And I feel like in many ways, the month we're coming into now is one of the most important. It's a very important month to know where we are in the year and where we are and what God is saying. And so the message this morning is the month of Nisan for 2022, aligning your life for harvest. Tell your neighbor, I want to be aligned because I want the harvest. So welcome to our first fruit celebration for the month of Nisan. Now, Nisan is the first month in God's yearly cycle of feasts. It's the month of the spring feast of Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. Now, in our calendar, the month of Nisan usually begins in March and spills over into April. But Nisan is a very significant month. It's the month, as Chuck said, it's the month of Passover. And Passover is the very first feast in God's yearly cycle. The root word of Nisan is Nisim, and the word Nisim means miracles. So expect miracles this month. As a matter of fact, right now, if you're in need of a miracle, tell God what miracle you would ask for this month. Nisan also means redemption. At Passover, we celebrate redemption by the blood of Jesus, our Passover lamb, and the miracle of his resurrection. Now, the Jews also call this month the month of Aviv. Now, in Hebrew, the word Aviv means springtime. See, we've come through a long, cold winter season, but it's now time for life to spring forth. Spring is a very significant season in the natural realm, but also in the spiritual realm. Another Hebrew word for spring is teshuvah. Everybody say teshuvah. Teshuvah. Now, teshuvah is the word for spring, but it's also the word for repentance. See, springtime shows us vividly what repentance looks like. Repentance is turning away from a cold, dead season and moving into a season of life. And see, that's also what springtime is. So if you have been in a cold, dead season, I have some good news for you. You can repent. It's time to enter into spring. So Nisan is a month to turn from the things that trapped you in the old dead season and step forward into God's promise. And see, that's what Passover is all about. Part of Passover involved going through your house to remove all impurity so you're free to move forward with God. I'm glad we're doing the things on deliverance, on cleansing, because that's preparation for Passover. And through the blood of Jesus, our Passover lamb, we are redeemed out of bondage and we are set free to enter the promise. Now, Nisan is also a month of first fruits. The barley harvest took place in Nisan. Now, barley was planted in the fall, but it was the first crop to harvest in the spring. But before it could be harvested, two sheaves were cut and taken to the temple and presented to God as a first fruits offering. And that was done on the Sunday after Passover. That day was called the Feast of First Fruits. And the feast is important because giving a first fruits offering guarantees that the full harvest will come in. Now, to say it's the Feast of First Fruits doesn't mean that's the only time first fruits offerings were given, because crops ripened all through the year. Barley ripened in the early spring, wheat in the early summer, grapes in the late summer, olives in the fall, and Jews would bring a first fruits offering of every crop. So there were first fruits offerings given all through the year. But the barley harvest was the first of all the harvests. So the first fruits of the barley harvest was really the first of the firsts. It was a first fruits offering that guaranteed all of the harvests for the year. So on the Sunday after Passover, as they presented the barley sheaves to the Lord, they were saying, what we see today is the first of many harvests to follow. And that's why God chose that day, the Sunday after Passover, for the greatest event in human history, because the Feast of First Fruits was also the day of Jesus' resurrection. See, Jesus died on Passover to be our Passover lamb. He redeemed us by his blood. But God raised Jesus from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits to show that he is the first fruits of a new creation. Paul says Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection. It was the first of a great harvest to come. So Nisan is a month of firsts. It's the month of the barley harvest, the first harvest of the year. It's the month of Passover, the first feast in God's yearly cycle. In Nisan, God redeemed Israel out of Egypt, so Nisan marked the beginning of Israel as God's covenant nation. Also in Nisan, the wind of God opened the Red Sea so Israel could begin their journey to the promised land. Now, the tribe associated with the month of Nisan is the tribe of Judah. Now, why is that? It's because Judah was always the first tribe. When Israel marched through the wilderness, Judah always went first. When they went into battle, again, Judah always went first. So this first of months is the month of Judah. Now, if we understand Judah, I think we'll begin to get a feel for what the month of Nisan is about. The symbol of Judah was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Now, Judah was the kingly tribe. It was the tribe of Messiah. It's interesting, Judah is where we get the word Jew from. So they trace the Jews today trace their namesake back to the tribe of Judah. And Judah was known for several things. First of all, Judah was the tribe of praise. You know, the name Judah means praise. The Jews are to be a people of praise. But Judah comes from the Hebrew word yada, and the root word for that is yad, which means hand. So the word yada or Judah meant to extend the hand. And it came to mean to praise God with lifted hands. You know, a lot of people think if they're going to praise God, you've got to get a guitar and find a song to sing or put some music on or speak something into the atmosphere. Do you realize you can praise God without saying a word? Just lifting your hands to him. You are yada. You are praising him. Everybody lift your hands to him and say, Lord, I yada. Right now, I praise you with lifted hands. And I love that expression of praise. It is one of the most significant and beautiful ways to praise God. To me, it pictures a little child running to her mommy with arms lifted high, saying, Mommy, I love you. I need you. Pick me up and hold me close. When you lift your hands to God, you're saying, Lord, I love you. I need you. I want to be close to you. But lifting your hands means more than that. Because in Hebrew, the hand is also the symbol of your strength and your power. So lifting up hands to God is offering God your strength, your abilities. You're putting yourself in His hands. So it's important to praise God this month. Press into a new level of praise this month. It's a month to draw close to God, put your life in His hands, and experience His goodness. So Judah means praise, but Judah also has a second aspect. Yadah can mean to extend the hands in praise, but it can also mean to extend the hands in battle. In warfare, Yadah meant to extend the hand to throw a stone or a spear or use a weapon to defeat the enemy. See, Judah is the tribe of praise, but it's also the tribe of war. Biblically, praise and warfare are always connected. You know, there was a verse in Psalm 149 that for years I didn't understand until I understood the relationship of praise and warfare. In 149, it says, "Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with tambourine and harp. May the high praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands." See, praising God is an act of war against the devil. It breaks his power. It thwarts his strategies. You know, whenever you feel like the devil's getting on your case, just need to look at yourself and say, "I guess I just need to praise the Lord." This is a month to stand against the enemy in God's power and prevail. See, Egypt was Israel's enemy, but in Nisan, the power of Egypt was broken and the children of Israel were set free. Now, here's one more thing about Nisan. Nisan is the month to align your life to receive an abundant harvest. See, God's goal for you is harvest. He wants your barns to be filled and your vats to overflow. He wants you to experience the fullness of His promised blessing. He wants you to see a harvest of righteousness and a harvest of souls. But there is a timing in harvest. Psalm 1 says God wants you to be like a tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a time and a season for everything. There is a correct time to plant, and there's a correct time to reap the harvest. And God wants you to have an abundant harvest. Even in the natural realm, if you try to harvest in the wrong season, you will not get the harvest you're looking for. See, if you're out of God's timing, you can miss the harvest that He has for you. Planting and reaping must be in the right timing. You know, in the old Soviet Union, everything was controlled by bureaucrats in the central government. And the bureaucrats in Moscow would arbitrarily set the dates for planting and for harvesting. And so when the order came from Moscow, they planted. But many times the ground was too wet and the seeds would rot in the ground. When the order came from Moscow, they harvested. They didn't harvest until Moscow said to do it. But if the timing was wrong, they would watch their crops rot in the field. You know, Ukraine was some of the most productive farmlands in the world, but because it was not able to operate in the right timing, the whole country experienced terrible famine. And that's why God is speaking to His church about alignment. To experience the harvest we want, we must be aligned with His apostles, with His fivefold ministers, with His timing, and with His glory. You know, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, they were a rabble. They were a mixed multitude. They were free from Egypt, but they were not yet ready to move forward as God's people to accomplish his purposes. So God took them down to Sinai, and there he taught them alignment. He aligned their camp physically. He aligned them with his leaders. He aligned them with his timing. He aligned them with his glory. Now, why was that important? That's important because there's a tremendous power that's released when we're correctly aligned. My favorite illustration of that is a magnet. You know, you can have an iron bar, and you can have a magnet. Now, they can be the same size, the same weight, and even made of the same material, but the magnet has a power that the iron bar lacks. What makes the difference? Well, in the iron bar, the molecules are not aligned. They're each just going their own way. They're doing their own thing. But amazingly, that iron bar can become a magnet. If you put it in a strong magnetic field, the molecules will align with that field, and the bar will gain the power of alignment. When you're correctly aligned, power is released. And God wants you to experience the power of alignment. The right alignment will release power in every area of your life. I remember when our church aligned with Chuck Pierce as our apostle. You know, we had been a church for years. We were a good church. We had godly leaders. We had good teaching. But we knew that God's plan was for a church to be on an apostolic foundation. And so we went to Chuck and we said, Chuck, would you be our apostle? Now, he was in the church. We had known him. This is a fun story. He said, no. He said, you already have your own ways of doing things. That'll be a hard transition. Well, we waited about 6 more months. The elders were all talking. We said, you know, we really want to be on an apostolic foundation. And we know Chuck. We respect him. We know he is an apostle. So we went to Chuck again. And we said, Chuck, would you be our apostle? And he said, no. He said, that you don't know what you're asking. That would be a hard transition because you already have your own ways of doing things. Well, 6 more months went by. We were in the elders' meeting. Is John Taylor here this morning? Hello, John, wherever you are. And we talked again about really wanting to be on a biblical apostolic foundation, but we knew Chuck would say no. And John spoke up, and he said something that was brilliant. He said, why don't we go to Chuck and tell him, we all quit, the church is yours. And all of us thought that was a wonderful idea. So that's what we did, and that's how Chuck became our apostle. And fortunately, he hired us back. But when we aligned under Chuck apostolically, something changed. I like to describe it like this. In the original Star Wars movie, remember what happened when the Millennium Falcon made the jump to light speed. It was whoosh. That's what it's like when we align with the apostolic. The anointing level of every ministry in the church exploded. See, there's power in alignment. You need to know who you're aligned with. In every sphere of life, be sure you are aligned with the highest level apostolic anointing you can find. Now, for Israel, alignment was what the month of Nisan was all about. In Nisan, God aligned them with Moses. And then under Moses' leadership, God took them to Sinai and taught them alignment in every area of life. He aligned their camp physically. They put the tabernacle right in the center, and they positioned the tribes around it. And that meant all the tribes were aligned with each other And they were all aligned with the ark. That meant they were all aligned with God. When everything was aligned, it created a place where God's glory could be released, where his glory could dwell. When everything was set up in the tabernacle, the glory of God came down visibly. They could not even stand up because of the power of the glory of God. One of the most important ways God aligned Israel was to align them with his timing. While they were camped there at Sinai, God began to teach them about his times and his seasons. He gave them a whole new cycle of life. Each day he said, take a day to rest and just enjoy God's goodness. And then he had them begin every month by gathering together our first fruit celebration to praise God and bring a first fruits offering. Listen to the words of the prophets. Then three times a year, they were to meet with God and allow him to do some specific things in their life. These three gatherings are sometimes called biblical feasts, but they're also called God's appointed times. They're literally appointments with God. And as Israel aligned their lives with God's timing, they experienced incredible blessing. Aligning with God's timing helped them to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. It let them be at the right place at the right time. It helped them not to miss their windows of opportunity. But God's appointed times were not just for the Jews. The Bible promises blessings for Gentiles who will honor God's appointed times. The early church also aligned with God's timing. You know, in the early church, the biblical feasts were considered to be a Christian thing to do. They were Christian feasts also. But during the Dark Ages, the Roman government forced the church to abandon the biblical calendar, and the result is a lot of Christians today don't even know what God's appointed times are. And yet God's appointed times are still the source of great blessing. So what are God's appointed times? Well, God gave three special appointed times every year. There's Passover in the first month. There's Pentecost in the third month. Then comes the long, hot summer, and you get Tabernacles in the seventh month. You know, some people get into Numbers. So you have three feasts, the first month, the third month, and the seventh month. If you're into Numbers, that's interesting. But these are times God wants to meet with us, not just for a celebration, not just for a meal, not just for a ritual, but he wants us to allow his Spirit to do some special things in our life. Passover is all about redemption and cleansing. At Passover, they were redeemed by the blood, but they also searched out their house and were cleansed from impurity so they could move forward with God. God wants us to be reminded every year that the starting point of our walk with him is redemption and cleansing by the blood of the Lamb. Then came Pentecost in the third month. Pentecost was a celebration of provision. First of all, it was the first fruits of the wheat harvest, God's physical provision. Next, it was the provision of the law, which was God's provision under the Old Testament. God took them down to Sinai and at Pentecost gave them the law. But then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2, it was when God poured out the Holy Spirit. He is our provision under the new covenant. And see, once we are redeemed, God wants us to walk in the fullness of his provision. And finally, Tabernacles in the seventh month is a celebration of his glory. It's all about dwelling in his presence. God's goal is to bring us into his presence to experience his glory. Now, I think you can understand these times better if you realize they correspond to the three courts in Moses' tabernacle. The outer court of the tabernacle was a place of redemption and cleansing. You began at the altar where you're redeemed by the blood. That's always where you begin your walk with God. And then there was the laver where you were cleansed from impurity. And that meant it was time to go into the holy place. that celebrated God's provision. There was a table of showbread that showed God has brought forth bread from the earth. God meets our physical needs. And then there was the menorah. The book of Revelation said that represents the sevenfold spirit of God. And then there was the altar of incense, showing our access to God in prayer. And then there was a thick, heavy curtain called the veil. And on the other side was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant dwelt, and the glory of God was manifested in the midst of his people. Now, does anybody see a similarity between the feasts and the tabernacle? See, God's appointed times are really a journey into the presence of God. It's like walking through the tabernacle. Every year you begin in the outer court, you go through the inner court, you end up in the Holy of Holies. And the goal of these feasts is to bring you into a fresh experience of God's glory every year. Now, why is that important? Because living in the world is like standing on an escalator going down. You don't have to try real hard to just drift further and further from God. But celebrating God's appointed times puts you on an escalator going up. They're designed to bring you ever closer to him. If you've gotten off track, they'll give you a chance to get back on. Now, these are not legalistic rituals. You will not go to hell for not observing an appointed. They're given as a blessing. And if you want to miss out on God's blessing, God will let you do that. Under the New Testament, we're free to celebrate a feast. We're free not to. So don't get legalistic about it. But if you want to get on the escalator, it begins this month. This is the starting point. This is the month of Passover. If you're not sure how to celebrate Passover, I'd like to recommend a book called The Messianic Church Arising. It's available from Glory of Zion. It's also available as an ebook on Amazon. But see, Passover was not designed to be celebrated in a banquet hall with a catered meal. I mean, that's not bad, but that wasn't really the original setting. Passover was designed to be celebrated at home with friends and family around the dinner table. And if you've never celebrated Passover, this book will show you a very simple way to celebrate Passover in your own home. But Nisan is the month of Passover. That means it's time to start. A fresh cycle is beginning. It's the month to align with God's cycle of life. And as we align ourselves with God's seasons, we experience harvest. And God wants your life to be so aligned with him that you can plant in seed time and reap a bountiful harvest. So this is a month to declare spring has come. Tell your neighbor, spring has come. It's a month for miracles. It's a time to come before God in praise and stand against the enemy in warfare, because this month sets the course for your future. So in this month of Nisan, celebrate Passover and align your life with God's times to enter in to the fullness of his harvest. Lord, we praise you this morning. Lord, we thank you. The escalator is beginning. Lord, we're ready to get on. We want to move forward with you and experience the fullness of the harvest you want for us.
Now, Robert, do something for us. Go back. Let's all stand up. Look, show your magnet slide one more time.
Okay. Let me do a little thing here.
And I want all of you to get your communion.
Okay, there's the bar of iron, there's the magnet. What makes the difference in the iron bar? The molecules are not aligned. They're each going their own way, but that bar can become a magnet If you put it in a strong magnetic field, the molecules will align with that field, and that bar will gain the power of alignment.
That's the easiest way to understand why the Lord told us when we, every time we come together, remember Him by taking covenant. The bread and the blood. See, the body is one. And when we take communion together, see, you're aligned vertically, but you have to understand you will never complete your destiny till you're aligned horizontally as well. And that's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. That doesn't mean everybody has to come here. People who are aligned in their tribe commune together. So all of you on the web, please get something to commune with us. Because something happens. It's a miraculous moment. Every time we come together, don't think, oh God, I got to go to church. Don't think that. It is something miraculous going on when we come together and all of a sudden we remember Him by taking the body. Now, I want you to take your body, because we're getting past all of our fear of COVID and all other diseases. Exchange your body with someone next to you. See, what you're doing is you're exchanging and aligning your gift. You're saying, I appreciate your gift. I honor your gift. You're aligning with God through His Son and by His Spirit with the people around you. And then all of a sudden, we are to look like the magnet, where people are drawn to us wherever we go out. Now take communion. Now the blood. See, we're one body, one blood. And what happens when you remember Him by the blood, His Spirit starts moving in you. His Spirit moves through your blood, and every time your heart beats, His Spirit is causing you to become aware of Him. And it's cleansing you. It's causing your conscience to come alive. It's causing you to recognize Him around you. And look now, all around us here, if Gideon overthrew the Midianites with 300, we are to be able to overthrow anything that needs to be overthrown. Now, think about it right now. People in Ukraine are communing with us. People in Taiwan are communing with us. People in Singapore are communing with us. Brazil. All of a sudden, think of the life that is pulsating in and around the earth. And this Passover, we're all crossing over into something. And it begins today. It's really that incredibly miraculous. And you're carrying that within you. He in you is ready to cross over. Now, Father, I say there is an activation, a miraculous activation going on in us as we remember your blood and honor that blood today on this first fruit of Abib, of Nisan, and decree that your blood is springing us forward. Now, Father, we say, like you said today, we're not going to fear the floodwaters, because even the floodwaters can be our time of crossing over. Now, Father, I send us forth into this new season, this first month, and we decree that we are submitted to cross over in Yeshua's name. Let's give a shout. Whew. Something is going to happen to you when you take your first step forward. We'll see you back here.